In our first reading today, we hear about King Saul, and he's out in the wilderness with 3,000 men. He's brought an army with him to try and hunt down and kill David. And he brings an entire army for one person. So, you know, we can see from this that Saul is obsessed with killing David. And, you know, you'd think that David might be a little resentful about that. You know, he has to flee and he's living in a desert as he's being hunted down. And we hear today how David and Abishai sneak into the camp and everybody's asleep. And King David is there right next to Saul, and he has the opportunity to kill him right there as he's laying on the ground. And as it says, one thrust of the spear would be all that he needed to get rid of his enemy, and David could go back to living his life. You can imagine how tempting that would be. But that's not what David thinks. What he thinks is, now is my opportunity to spare Saul's life and show him how faithful I am to him, and show him mercy so that I'll win him over and he'll realize that I don't mean him any harm. That's what David was thinking. And that's pretty amazing that that would be his mindset. I mean, how many other people would think, how fortunate I am, now's my chance, I can kill him. But that's not what David thinks. And in a way, that foreshadows Jesus Christ. Because as Jesus was facing his crucifixion, he could have called down instantly an army of angels to slaughter all these people who were trying to kill him. But that's not what he did. He gave himself on the cross to try and win us over by his goodness and by his fidelity to us. And so these are examples in Jesus Christ and in King David of people who love their enemies. And that's what the readings call us to do. I think when we look at the church in general, there's a lot of enemies to the church. You know, there's tremendous animosity against Christianity in general and against the Catholic faith. And that animosity, in part, is coming from the progressive movement. You know, the progressive movement is no friends to the Catholic Church. But one of the caricatures that they have of the Church is that we're hateful people and that we're judgmental of others, that we go around condemning people to hell. Like, that's what we do for fun. We're like, oh, you're going to go to hell. You're going to go to hell. And that we hate people who don't live in accord with Catholic teaching. You know, people who just want to love each other, we go around and spread hate to them. You know, that's the caricature that's presented of Christianity. And that's what a lot of people buy into, and why a lot of people have resentment against the Catholic Church. But nothing could be further from the truth. You know, when we look at what Christianity teaches, you know, Jesus says today that it's not enough to just love those who love you. You don't even get credit for that. Everybody loves those who love them. But we have to love even our enemies. And the reason why we love even our enemies is because we desire to be children of our Heavenly Father. And when we look at our Heavenly Father, he is good and bestows blessings upon the good and the evil alike. The sun rises on the good and evil alike. They wake up in the morning, good and evil alike. God gives them blessings. And he does that because he wants to win them over with his goodness. And he's patient with them. And he gives them time to come to conversion. Catholic teaching is rooted in what's authentically good for the human person. Every Catholic moral teaching is rooted in what is beneficial for us. And so there's no hatred that motivates any of the teachings of the church. They're all motivated by the authentic good of the human person, by trying to guide people in a way that will cause them to flourish. I think it's important for us to recognize this dynamic in terms of what a lot of people believe Christianity is when it comes to evangelization. To recognize that a lot of people are hostile to Christianity because they have a false notion that it's a religion of hatred. And so when we talk to our family members or neighbors or coworkers who may not know Christ and his church, it's important that we don't come across as being judgmental or as being angry or hate-filled, because that'll just confirm the animosity that a lot of people have against the faith. And so in order to enter into, you know, an authentic relationship where there could be a conversion, it's important that we show people what Christianity truly is by demonstrating kindness and mercy to them. And we have to find a way to break through and to help them to recognize that that's authentic, that we truly care about people. And I think that basic dialogue is very difficult in our culture today, because in our culture today, anyone who disagrees with another person, you know, it's like they're an enemy. You know, that we need to cancel people. We need to wipe them off social media or attack them and call them all sorts of names if they disagree with us. You know, it's common for people to get slandered just because they're presenting a certain idea. And we see that very plainly in the media and in our universities and colleges. Our young people are taught cynicism, and they're taught to be antagonistic towards people who might have a different perspective. And so that division is becoming very widespread. But authentic dialogue requires mutual respect. You know, we don't have to instantly agree with other people on every view. We're not going to. But what is necessary is that there has to be a common ground of mutual respect. You know, that respect is necessary on the part of both people to enter into dialogue. And why should we be respectful of those who disagree with us? You know, the reality is we might have real enemies, people who are harming us, people who are slandering us. Or, you know, when it comes to society as a whole, there are people who are promoting real evil. There's a lot of evil that's spreading through our country. You know, we see, you know, major public school districts that are teaching very toxic ideologies and perversions to children. You know, there's this evil that's spreading through our society. And so there is real perversity there. There's real evil. But those people are still created by God in an act of love. And our Heavenly Father still shows them kindness and goodness. And we have to do the same, recognizing that that doesn't change the reality of who they are and the respect that we should show them. We never compromise on our beliefs, and we have to present the truth. But first, there has to be mutual respect. We have to live like children of our Heavenly Father. And so I encourage each of us to think about the people around us, those who might be our enemies or those who might be our persecutors, and ask ourselves the question, what attitude do we show them? Do we show them kindness? And do we show them mutual respect, even when they might not show that respect to us? You know, we're not called to be reactionary. We're called to be instruments of God in the world. And that calls for supernatural virtue. That's what we see in David. That's what Jesus Christ exemplifies. And that's the goodness that's going to attract people to Jesus Christ, because they're not going to find that goodness elsewhere. When we look around in society, there's a lot of antagonism. There's a lot of bitterness. But if we can bring a goodness into the world, people are going to recognize that. And even if they don't initially embrace Christianity, they're going to see a goodness in us that they don't see elsewhere. And that's going to attract them ultimately to the gospel.